Well, I am so thankful to be back. I love vacation. I get a little darker tan, and you know, but I miss my home church. And a lot of things we talk about when we're on vacation is how blessed we are to have Living Hope. I'm sorry I'm so emotional this morning. You're going to have to. Jerry understands. So I might cry through this whole message, and I hope you'll forgive me. I really missed you guys. We're coming up on a series in September in Jonah. We're going to have about 5 or 6 messages. Then we'll go straight into 2 Peter. After that, we're going to go through Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Have about 20 messages through there. And after that, we'll go through the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy. At this church, we love verse-by-verse preaching because there's no power outside of the Word of God. I can't give you these witty little sermon series, topical, that want to, you know, make your life better. I don't care about making your life better on this earth. I want to give you a wonderful eternity with God in heaven. And I want to make your life better only in as it pertains to the Holy Spirit's fruit in you. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's living our best life now. Amen. Sorry there. I keep meddling and I need to start preaching. Well, our series is almost concluded. Next week we will have our final sermon on the kingdom of God. This week hopefully will help you, because we're going to talk about how God takes pain and trauma and difficulties. I call it snake bites and shipwrecks. And we're going to talk about how your deepest pain, maybe something that you've never even shared with anybody, something that hurts you so deeply, and only God knows. Or maybe you have shared it. Maybe you've come to that place where you've been able to get some help. Praise God. But you think, oh, God could never use this. God must have been mad at me when this happened. I deserve it. Well, we deserve much worse than whatever you've experienced. That's true. That's not why you have suffered pain. God loves you. He gave His only Son for you. There's no condemnation anymore for you, child of God. You are in covenant with God. Read the blessings and the cursings of Deuteronomy. Read the blessings and the cursings throughout the Old Testament, and they are about how God is in covenant with you. And even when you feel cursed, the curses are even blessings because they bring you back to God. It's discipline. It's not condemnation. And I think of a lady over 50 years ago in 1967 went diving in Chesapeake Bay. As a 17-year-old, and he found a raft. They thought the water was deep, but it was shallow. And Joni Erickson, now Joni Erickson Tada, hit the bottom of that place and was instantly changed, paralyzed for life. Now, some of you are not physically paralyzed. But there is some paralysis in your soul. Now, Joni Erickson Tada, you know the story. She was a believer, but she even contemplated suicide because days were so dark and she couldn't use her hands or her feet after having used them her whole life. But she decided on one thing. She said, I can be thankful. And at first, it was just little tiny things that she said, thank you that I still have my mouth, that I can still taste. Speaking of her mouth, she learned how to paint using her mouth and became a wonderful artist. And you know the story of Joni Erickson Tada. She's a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. And whatever paralysis she has, it's not a paralysis at all. It is not limiting to her. Her paralysis has brought her to a place of incredible international, worldwide ministry. Now, we're not all Johnny Erickson Tatas, but we all have those places that we desperately need healing. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to heal. Instead of dealing with our deepest issues, our hardest trials, our most terrible difficulties, there are ways that we deal with trauma that are unhealthy, where we put up walls, where we protect ourselves. We become narrow. Our hearts become small. Dear child of God, the hurt and the harm and the suffering, or whatever you've gone through, the snake bites, the shipwrecks, we're going to learn today through the Apostle Paul that those difficulties are planned and allowed by God. He's not the author of sin, but all things work after the counsel of His will, even in the chaos and the cacophony of rebellion in this world. Some of you have made poor choices. I believe the greatest heroes in the Bible have all made poor choices. Peter denying Christ, then 50 days from the cross, he preaches Pentecost. Or it's just suffering in your life. You're just suffering. You've lost some things in your life. It may be someone that you love, and you'll never get over that. It's okay. The goal is not to get over that trauma. You won't get over it. You're not supposed to get over it. There may be some things that have happened to you. People have done bad things to you. You may not get over the scarring of that, okay? In this passage, the ship doesn't automatically come together after it's torn apart. But there is a great ministry that takes place in this passage as a result of the snake bites and the shipwrecks. So I've summarized the message. You can go home. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get into it. But I want you, before we even open up the scriptures here, I want you to open up your heart. I want you, this is going to be hard, but I want to lead the way here. Open your heart. I'm asking you before God, open your heart. There may be some things that you're blaming God about. I want you to open your heart and see the goodness of God, and that even the harshest things in your life will come to His glory, His renown in the earth. Dear child, if He gave His own Son for you, you think He has any pleasure in your suffering? May it never be. It's not that way. And I want you to also, because we are saints here, are we not? We are no longer to be sinners. Sin shall not have dominion over us. So, but we do have sin in our life, don't we? And there are patterns of sin in my life and in your life that are wicked and evil. And we want to walk in the light. Amen? I have struggled for years with anger. You don't know that. I'm a good hypocrite. You know? I'm so sorry. And I'm not walking in the darkness anymore. I'm walking in the light. I love you all so much. I don't feel worthy to be your pastor. I've never felt worthy for one day. But I want you to pray for me, and I want to ask that I can pray for you. And I'm calling you out into the light. Come out into the light. The Holy Spirit is here. The water's beautiful. The water of life, the living water. I want you to feel the power of God in everything that we say as elders. I desperately want you to know that there's healing. Some of my anger has come from the trauma in my life. Okay, and I haven't dealt with it, but I want you to know I'm getting help. And the elders are going to know all about it. My children are involved. I want you to know I can't hold it in. I want to walk in the light. And so I've dealt with trauma in wrong ways. I just freak out when bad things start happening and I get crazy. And not that any of you do that ever, you know. But it's not proper for an elder. An elder is not to be that way. I'm not resigning. But I'm resigning to the will of God. I'm resigning to the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hold me accountable, church. You've got to hold me accountable. And I want to hold each other accountable. I want to walk in the light. I want to do real discipleship here. I want not just to have all the beautiful knowledge. And I love the Bible. I study it for 3, 4, 5 hours every day. But it's all worthless to my own soul unless I'm not just a hearer of the word, but I have to be a doer. So coming back to the sermon, Paul went through some trauma. I mean, if you don't think a shipwreck is traumatizing, and he's been through so much trauma, it's listed in the book of Romans and other places, you know, shipwrecks, beatings, stonings. He died once, went to the third heaven. I think that's talking about that. There's debate on that. But anyway, he went through a lot of trauma, right? And he learned how to deal with it in the face of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So today I want to declare that we are free. We are free from the flesh. We are free from our traumas. We don't have to be enslaved by them. We don't have to be angry and anxious and desperate and controlled by fear and anger and despair. We don't have to do that. Do you believe that? So I want to show you how God gives us healing today. And I want to invite you to get alone with God. And where your life is God. Your life is all about God and His presence. You are following in the footsteps of Abraham. God called Abraham, and your call is no less important than Abraham. As well as Moses. God didn't give you a burning bush. He gave you His Son hanging on a cross. So let's get into this message. And walk with me, but keep your heart open because we are diving deep today. The key thought here is to trust the Lord in your most painful moments. God knows what He's doing. Can I get a witness? He's allowing you to experience His deepest healing so that you can minister the same healing to others. Yes, you've gone deep in your trauma. You've gone so deep. It's so hard. And the reason that God has allowed you to be there, you need to understand God's goodness. He wants to take you from the depths of the depths to bring you to the heights of the heights, to know the miracle power of God. He's brought you to a place of being paralyzed because when you get out of that tomb, people will say, God did that. When they see you walking around, they'll say, God did that. So you are a walking miracle. That's what the trauma is all about. To bring you to a place that is humanly impossible to recover. You see it every day. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying of suicide. They're dying of overdose, alcoholism, car crashes caused by substance abuse, and even just murdering each other. There's whole franchises built on murder. Dateline 2020, we could go on. Because we are in a place as humans that is irrecoverable. Unless you have the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So I want to invite you to bring the trauma, the confusion, the chaos. And we're not going to close up. Neither are we going to be putting walls all around us. We're the only people. You know, we're special. We're not a special church. We're just like every other church, filled with the Holy Spirit. We are going to open our hearts for healing. So let's jump into this and see the mess that God wants to bring your mess into ministry. And you know that Paul was shipwrecked and landed on the island of Malta. And he comes to a realization that summarizes kind of what he wrote to the Corinthians. What does he say to the Corinthians about suffering and trauma, shipwrecks and snake bites? Blessed be the God of our the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of what? All comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you see it? That's the message for today. That's what we're going to get today. And so we come to the, he comes to the island. You heard Joe read about this. The native people are unusually kind to Paul. It says that in verse 2, they showed us unusual kindness. They kindled a fire and welcomed us because it had begun to rain and was cold. And so, though they were expecting barbarians, they got kindness. In our shipwrecks, sometimes we are expecting the worst. But as a child of God, you must get rid of that bad thinking. You must oppose it with all of your might. That somehow God is punishing you. No, God is drawing you nearer and he wants to show you kindness in your shipwrecks. Nothing else, because you're his child. And even his discipline of you is his kindness. The suffering that we go through draws us nearer to him. There's only two possibilities: faithlessness or faith. Bitterness or the presence of God. Now I'm asking you to choose the presence of God. I'm asking you to soften your heart this morning. Be so soft. And stop accusing God of doing you wrong. Because he's good. Isn't he good? He wants you to understand that your shipwreck is going to bring you to a place. Not where Paul is. He met some friendly barbarians, so to speak. We're called to meet God in our shipwrecks. And he is kind. And so my heart is that you will be longing for the presence of God, the beauty of his holiness. So they welcomed Paul, and it had begun to rain. It was cold. Paul wasn't this, you know, superhero like Captain America or Iron Man or Batman or whatever. Paul was a normal guy who got cold when it rained and needed shelter. He's just a normal person. And that's who God uses. That's why he's called you. You're just a normal person, just like Paul was. And he's called you to ministry. Now, I want you to see the kindness of Paul. There was a creature. Paul didn't have to go and gather any wood. He's a Roman citizen. There were slaves. There were all kinds of things they could have. He could have waited and watched the slaves. But Paul was kind in his heart. He wasn't messed up by this shipwreck. I mean, if any of us was on that boat when it ripped apart, we might need a couple of weeks to just get our head right and go, where are you in all of this, God? That's baby Christianity. If you're doing that, that's you're not mature. You need to mature and say, I'm excited to see what God has in all of this. Whenever you see a mess, you need to be expecting a miracle. Whenever you see a disaster, you need to see the dunamis power of God. That God is going to bring something that is not from this world. And that's exactly what happens in this passage. Paul, when he gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." They see the bad theology they have here? "He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm." I want you to understand that the creatures in life are going to scare you. And I just came from the South, so, you know, we saw alligators. And, I mean, there were roaches that were like the size of a small peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then you're looking at the roach and all of a sudden, woo, it starts flying. What in the world? Like, I'm glad I don't live down South. I just have to say that. Mostly because I love you, but also because we don't have those creatures here. But there are other things in your life that will wrap around you and bite you, right? And I want you to notice the fickleness of the people when this creature comes. And what do they say? "He's a murderer." But some of you have that fickleness too. So I just want you to examine your health, your heart, and rid yourself of this kind of fickleness. That when things go bad, you think, "I'm a bad person." That's not how it is. We're all condemned without Christ. Amen? And where does our righteousness come from? It comes from Jesus. But there is a real holiness in our life that God has prepared for us. Regardless of all that, the things that are happening in your life are not there because you're a bad person. God is not punishing you. If he wanted to do that, he could just open up the earth right here and swallow you right into hell. But here's the deal. The Lord is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. And he has predestined you to be conformed to the image of his Son. So even these creatures are all in harmony with that one great will of God to bring glory and honor to God through your life. And even creatures are going to help you get to that place of brokenness, of softness in your heart. And the traumas and the difficulties and even your own sins, God will allow you to go down pathways that you will regret. Sometimes it's years, sometimes it's decades. Don't worry, child of God. Time is just time. We are eternal beings. You are come. Don't regret forgetting that which is behind. Amen? Forget it. And reach forward for that prize of knowing Jesus. Doesn't matter what you've gone. I can hear myself in the. It's like, am I in a stadium? Technology. But here's the thing. Listen, those things are going to happen in your life. Don't equate that to God's disfavor with you, because the ones who called Paul a murderer, they were, it says in verse 6, they were waiting for him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune to come to him, they changed their minds. So he's not a murderer. He's now a god. If you're not anchored in the living God, that's how your mind's going to be. You're going to be all over the place. You know, when good things happen to you, I'm a murderer. When great things happen to you, I'm a god. You know, that's not how it is. We are sinners saved by grace. Amen? We're sinners saved by grace. Paul wasn't a murderer. Well, he was at one time in his life. But that's not why the snake bit him. And he was not a god. He's a child of God. A humble child of God. And so, this is another lesson. Here's another lesson you need to learn here. People are fickle. You do not get your approval from human beings. Now, you are accountable to human beings, so don't misunderstand me. We want to be accountable to a lot of people. I want everybody that I can looking into my life, godly men looking into my life and saying, are you really, truly walking with God? Because I can fool myself. I can mistake Bible knowledge for godliness. I want many godly men looking into my life. I want many godly men looking in to you men's lives. And you ladies, I want godly ladies looking into you. That's accountability. But listen, I don't get my value, my identity, my approval from any human being. I get it from God alone. And the pathway God wants you on, you will not make it hardly a half step if you're looking for the approval of men. Don't do it. Stay away from that. So one day people are going to be lovers, call you a god. The next day they're going to call you a murderer. They're going to be haters. Your happiness must not come from human beings. That's called, in the psychological realm, codependence. When your happiness, men, when your happiness, ladies, comes from your spouse, from your children, even from your elders, it cannot come from human beings. Because when they don't serve you well, what do? You get angry. Or you get hurt. You get anxious. So there was such confusion here. They needed Christ. Well, what does God love to bring out of messes? He loves to bring miracles out of messes. So now Paul begins a healing ministry on the island of Malta. It says in the neighborhood of that place, there were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on him and healed him. So there was a healing right there. Publius's own father. And there was this thing called Malta fever that's usually lifetime. Comes from eating some of the spoiled things that they raise on the Isle of Malta. And it's usually, you can't get rid of it. Paul, in a moment, had a prayer time. God healed Publius's father. And you'll often see in the West, there's not perhaps as many miracles, and you might wonder why. We see the miracles when we read Mecca to Christ International's newsletter. I hear about this. I went down to Christ the Redeemer Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We had an hour of prayer before the service even began. And I heard about another man in the place near Mecca where we're planting a church. There's another church that they don't even know about each other. I heard about it. There's miracles happening. And many of those people have had visions and dreams. And you don't really see that very much here. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Well, the Bible covers it. Tells us why. Because Peter says, I've seen the greatest miracles ever performed. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. And what is that? The Bible. The Bible is a more sure word of prophecy than any glorious miracle. So that's what Paul's going to do. He's going to do a miracle, but then he's going to start preaching the word of God to the island, which is a greater miracle. Okay? It says they honored us greatly when we were about to sail. Let me back up. When this had taken place, verse 9, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came out and were cured. And they honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. We know that with the healing ministry, it's not directly named here, but there was an evangelistic ministry. There was the word of God going forth. And do you see that what was thought about in the first place as a disaster, a place of foreboding fear, going to Malta where there's barbarians and what's going to happen to us? And before that, as Joe mentioned, the Roman soldiers were going to kill all the passengers, all the prisoners on board. But they got through that. Your life is not in the hands of any human being. You've got to get that in your head. Whatever you're doing in life, you might be a mom or a dad. Everything in your life has been planned by the holy God of the universe. If you're a child of God, all things work together for good to those who love God. All things are made beautiful in His time. Amen? So I want you to get to the place of healing so that you can have a fruitful ministry as Paul did on the Isle of Malta. What is your ministry? We are not the main ministers as elders here in this church. You might think, oh, there's Minister Matt, Minister Jerry. We're all pastors. We're all shepherds. It's true. The pastors and teachers, we have awesome. We have the best teachers in the world in this church. I believe it. Most of you men can teach and preach. It's incredible. Even some that I didn't know could teach or preach can teach and preach. And that's amazing. But listen, we're called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. You are the ministers. We're equipping you in the Word of God so that you can be ministers. Finally, what is this meaning? And I'll just summarize it because we're out of time. But what we find is that this one healing turns into 1,000 healings. God can do one miracle, or He could do 1,000, or He could do 10,000. What I want you to do, this is your homework. I'm your pastor. I'm giving you homework. Go home and meet with the living God. And if you can't meet with Him, then there's something between your soul and the Savior. If you'd rather watch the TV, if you'd rather check your email, if you would rather even take a walk around the block, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. You should walk, do a lot of walking. Stop avoiding the presence of God. You need to get alone with God and be alone with Him and talk to Him and open up His Word. If you can't pray, then start praying His Word. Take the Psalms. Begin with Psalm 1. Go to Psalm 23. Go to Psalm 51 if you feel sinful. You know, pray the Word of God to Him. But you need to get into a place with God that everything else seems dull. That when you're talking with people, yes, you're there, you love them, but you can't wait to get back to the presence of God. And what happens is Paul, he's wandering all over the place and he's not worried. He knows that wherever this place is going, it's going to end up in Rome because an angel has told him this and God has told him this. So he's going to preach in Rome and he's not fussing and freaking out over all of the wandering of the ship. And some of us are fussers. We're so good. We got PhDs in fussing. You know, we're good at freaking out, man. But I'm telling you to lay aside those things. That's the old life. That's not the new life. The new life is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I'm stepping out into the light, dear saints. And I'm asking you to join me. I'm looking at my trauma. I'm looking at my mess. I'm getting help. You're going to hear more about it. My whole family's involved. I want my kids involved. Because we're doing this together. This is the body of Christ. This is the covenant of Abraham with God. And we are in it. Amen? We're in it. So let's get excited about this. And I want you to go home, okay? That's your homework. Number one, go home. Meet with God until you feel like meeting with anyone else is dull. And then I need you to be faithful to these saints next to you. Be faithful to them. You call them. You pray for them. And listen, you come to prayer meeting together. You come to life group together. You come to worship together. This is our life. Not trying to remodel our houses. Fine to do that. No problem. I'm doing that myself. But that is a side thing. The main thing is you. I live for you and I'm asking you to live for me. This is the meaning of it all. And stop in your traumas just putting up walls and getting smaller. I'm asking you to be courageous and say, like I did, if you have an anger problem, I have an anger problem. I freak out a lot. Tell somebody. Don't think God's going to heal you alone. You cannot be healed without the body of Christ. Let's be more open. Let's be more honest. Let's walk in the light. Let's be holy. Let's be the same people we are here and be that person at home. Are you in this with me, saints? Let's pray. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you so much for your love, your kindness. We pray that you would have your way with us. Thank you for the weight that is lifted by walking in the light. Thank you for the joy of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the filling power of your presence. Thank you for your promise to Adam, to Abraham, to Moses, to all of us in the new covenant today. Lord, help us to be filled with all the fullness of God. And right now we're going to have a time. This is a time of singing, but it's also going to be a time of corporate and individual prayer. So we want to open up front of this building. There's nothing sacred. This is not an altar. The altar is in your heart with God. But Brother Jerry's here. There's lots of elders. I would love for us to just come forward today as a church and pray together. And you know what? I think that's just what we're going to do. We're not even going to sing. Come on forward and let's pray together. Let's hold hands. Let's